Over the course of 9 years, my father, Stephen, son of Robert and Lillian, memorized over 90 quotes that he recites daily. In each podcast, a quote is randomly picked out of a hat and then discussed. Many of the quotes relate in one way or the other to the Dreams course that Stephen is currently teaching. Welcome back to the Dreams Course podcast. I'm Michael, son of Judith and Stephen.
I'm Stephen, son of Robert and Lillian. All right, I'm going to go into the hat and see what we got. I don't know if I read this before. Fritz Perls, anxiety is enthusiasm without the breath.
It's an interesting line.
Fritz Perls is amazing because he was a guy that kind of was not the, he was in the forefront of the Gestalt movement, which has a lot of different type of psychology. And he's one of the people that I've learned from that every dream is some fragment of yourself. And he used to do workshops where he would take on someone with their dream, and whatever they dreamed of, a character or a place or person, he would make them be that person or that place and act that role out in the dream to get them to get connected to the fragment within themselves. And it's a form of almost, you know, it's like psychodrama. It's like you're playing the role of the character in your dream. And it's funny, and it's, he has a wonderful, wonderful book I highly recommend called In and Out of the Garbage Pail. And so he's kind of a wise fool of a guy, worked a lot at Esalen. But what I like about this quote is it's funny because it's enthusiasm without the breath. But I've been working on and reading this book called Breathe. And I think the breath becomes so significant to everything. And speaking for myself, I've been a bad breather most of my life, a shallow breather.
Yeah.
And shallow breathing really leads to anxiety and all sorts of other non-productive feelings because the breath leaves no space inside you. When you breathe deeply and let it out, you're creating space within you to not react in the same way. Do you know what do you know what I mean?
How is breath work not taught in school?
Really? Breathing day. We should have breathing day, the correct way to breathe. Because if you're not breathing right, then you're experiencing tension. Big time.
Is the idea that anxiety has a lot of energy into it, except that because you're not breathing, how does it?
It's held back. It's not given free rein to be free. It's being controlled, and so it can't inflate. It can't make the enthusiasm grow big because the breath isn't there to support it. And it gets back to breath is definitely connected to energy, right? I mean, if you're breathing really well, and you're breathing when you're exercising and you're become aware of your breath and you're doing that, it's going to affect everything. I've just noticed it just gives me more room not to react to things like I normally would if I'm shallow breathing.
That's a great point.
And I have a lot of work to go. And there's this guy named Wim Hof that a lot of people discuss. And he has these really, really intense breathing exercises, 4 minutes in the beginning of a day that ends up very deep. And almost some people say, I know one of this guy, I'm doing working with this guy that does stretch labs, which is a form of kind of yoga being done to you. It's very, very good for the muscles and bones and everything. And he was telling me after working with him the other day, he was telling me that when you do the Wim Hof exercise, it, for many people, they almost get a psychedelic experience from the breathing.
Yeah.
So it's obviously having a big impact, and we know how important oxygen is to the body. So if you're not supplying it, that's going to make for weak enthusiasm because you're trying to control it in a little way. I mean, and this always brings up the same thing. Like, why aren't we in a constant state of the miracle of everything?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm saying that to myself. I'll go out and look at the stars and then I'll get overwhelmed. But if you really think about it, these things like from breathing to lungs to the way the earth means, the way trees have intelligence, we should be living the sacred life that the earth is sacred, like the Native Americans did and others have done. You've talked a lot about this. Because breathing goes outside of the human being breathing. How about the earth breathing? So it's like turn my head around, like it's ultimately any conversation you have about, you know, life and the meaning of life, eventually you have to get down to the practical details of the body. And the body are such that this is the mechanism that draws oxygen in that your brain needs desperately and the rest of your body needs. So if you're not doing it well, or it's not being taught to you very well, you're left with kind of shallow breathing, which gives way to anxiety, gives way to tension in general, and think of all the diseases that come out of that.
How tension is such a killer. You know, think about everything from in relationships when there's tension and the strains that that puts onto the relationship to in sports, like usually where you have tension is where you then mess up. So in a golf swing, if you have tension, you'll yank something or pull something or whatever. Same with in surfing. If you try to force it with like being too tense, you'll actually mess up because you're not just sort of confidently, calmly going into a situation. So, wow. Yeah. It's this exploration of anxiety and tension, and lack of breathing. Wow. It's fascinating.
It's fascinating. Alex teaches, jiu-jitsu and martial arts. And he was telling me that you can't do any of those things unless you're breathing correctly. That movement and punches and things all have to come out of the breath. So if you're shallow breathing while you're doing that, you're going to be out of rhythm. It's all about rhythm. I mean, that's one of the first things he always says to me. How you know, what is life? Life is movement, rhythm, expression, and energy. Movement, rhythm, expression, and energy. Parkinson's is about being out of rhythm. Your joint, your muscles are out of rhythm. So he stresses a lot of dancing and movement and ballet movements and hand gestures that are all smooth, creating new neural pathways to calm down the kind of non-rhythmic muscle expressions that are going on in the disease. And he demonstrates it on the Skyping, and it's just so remarkable because it's all in harmony. When I play golf, my backswing has total anxiety in it because I totally believe that the club will never get back to the ball if I don't hurry up. That is like the worst tension you can bring to a sport. And so all winter in my stretches, I exercise about breathing in all the way to the back of the backswing and then breathing out on the downswing. It's the same principle. Same principle.
Yeah, it's good. And it's good. You can close your eyes and just.
Yeah.
I think so much of positive visualization, which I remember in Little League, I don't even know whose parent this was. To be honest, this could have been a homeless guy at the park who just came up to me and just said, "Hey, you should close your eyes and think about picturing yourself seeing."
Hey, you got a 10 on you? I'm going to give you a pee.
Hey, boy.
He
said, "Hey, boy.
Hey, do me a favor.
You should close your eyes and picture hitting a home run because that's what you're going to do." And then I did. I closed my eyes, and he said, "By the way, if you have a 10, you could slip me. That would be
my day. Or buy me a Sprite."
Yeah. Do you mind going into that store and
getting me a Sprite? Actually,
saying that you're trying to buy your dad a tall can of Bud Light.
Yeah, and I'll pay you back.
Yeah, but also you're going to hit that home run. You just got to close your eyes and visualize it.
Believe in me.
But I realize now what that bum was trying to do was he was, you know, through positive visualization, you know, you slow down, you cut off some of the sensory deprivation, you know, you cut off some of the sensory information from the world, and with your eyes closed, you have a chance for your breathing to slow down and take some deeper breaths in through your nose, and
and that calms your muscles. That relieves
that's what
a lot
it's
of
doing.
The tension. Yeah,
it's empowerment. He had me do it, and the way you breathe in empowerment, you breathe in the positive, and you let go of the negative. You're letting go on the out. You're letting go because remember, tension is all going to be about holding on to ideas, holding on to the past, holding on to things that no longer work, holding on to feelings.
God, yeah.
And what you're doing is you're teaching yourself how to let go. I think that's what makes living so hard if you don't have a spiritual bent. Because how do you live a life, a full life, and as great a life as many of us have been lucky to have, and then just suddenly at the end just say, let go? You better be rehearsing let go.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
You know, like, you know, you watch people downsize, you know, and get rid of things and move into less so you own less. You're not attached to old memories because those memories are going to make you suffer because you're having to give them up. And the only physical thing I can think to help with that kind of thinking is breathing better. Where doesn't it work? Where doesn't it help?
Think about if you held on to your breath right now. Take in one breath.
Yeah.
And then you refused to let it go. What would happen?
Die.
Yeah, you die. It's this continual letting go and rebirth of breathing in new air and dying, the blowing out the air, the death, and then...
The life...
You know,
I like that. The life in, the death out. Letting go out. Letting life in, letting life go. On the way, letting it go. Teaching yourself how to let go. So from the breathing exercise, you can start letting go of memories that you no longer like and letting go of attitudes that you don't need. It teaches you on a physical level how to let go. The body is teaching you, not the mind, not the crazy-ass mind that's doing all of its crap about, you know, what's going to happen, what's going to happen, what's going to happen if you do this, if you do that, what's going to happen tomorrow if you don't fix that. That's the thing that's causing all the shallow breathing. That's
okay. So maybe, yeah. So maybe there's the line about anxiety is enthusiasm. Is that anxiety usually comes because you want things to go well, right?
Yeah.
You know, the worry comes from, well, I want this to go well, and I'm nervous or I'm afraid or, you know, that it's not going to. But the root of that is that you like life, that you want life to go well. You want, you know, meetings to be successful. You want relationships to be successful. You want to have a good day. But the tension messes that up. So the irony is that usually for things to go well, it's you have to be relaxed. You have to be calm. You have to let it go. You have to let go that sense of control.
I think that's completely, absolutely right. I mean, it has incredible implications, kind of like a ripple out of everything. And it also teaches you not to react to everything. The mind is constantly trying to get the body to react.
Mm.
So that what happens if, and then you emotionally react, oh my God, I'm going to lose my job, or I'm going to lose something, or my relationship's going to be over. And then you're in a state of anxiety, now you're not breathing well, and now your body is suffering. As opposed to listen to the body and not the mind. Who cares what you're the thinking? The mind only lives in the past and the future. You have to have a brave way to shut it down because it's not helping the body. It's not helping you to breathe. It's creating shallow breath. The mind, and that's the great trick because the mind is so useful in so many ways, and then it gets out of control. And then the poor body is suffering from it. The body's the miracle maker. It's the one that thinks 30,000 times faster than the conscious mind. It's doing all sorts of chemical things every moment of our lives, and including when we're sleeping. It's like a miracle of what the body does. But we listen to the mind and the fears of the mind. Why?
Yeah.
What the hell? Yeah. Trust the nature. Trust, but the body's done pretty well without the mind interfering. It got us all the way into, you know, modern times and the neocortex and the development. It was doing fine during the mammalian age. It went before it existed. And in dreams, of course, cars are like so significant because they represent the body. And whether you're a driver in the car, whether you're a passenger in the car, all that matters. Houses and cars are often symbols of the body in one way or the other. And they can be more than that, but they show up, of course, in many, many people's dreams. And yeah, there's got to be a measure, too. I'm sure in dreams you're going to be showing us and be recording, because it's coming from the brain, probably sending messages about our breathing. Why not? It's a message center to the conscious brain. Get with it. What's happened is, and this I learned this from Alex, is the mind has got now, it's just kind of disconnected from the body. The body, you've talked about this a lot, about nature and the beauty of nature and how the rhythm of nature, the breathing of nature, and the body is how brilliant it is. And instead we listen to this crazy ass mind that wants to do crap like invent plastic and destroy the earth and not pay attention to climate control. It's like a mind out of its mind out of its mind. We have to have a trigger that says to the mind, go away, I don't need you now. The guru that doesn't have thoughts most of the time, because unless they're practical. But in American society, think how that mind is working of what I got to get, what I get in need, what am I not having? And you wonder why we're so diseased?
Right, dis-ease, right?
Diseased.
That breakdown of that word, that so much of that dis-ease is, it comes from tension, from anxiety, from worry, not breathing, you know, not being at ease. So I was going to say, so much of this past year, this word stillness comes back again and again. And in some of my own sort of personal investigations, and what I find that when I'm willing to be still, that answers will come to me. But it requires no reaction at first.
Yeah, which in meditation is the development of the witness, not the reactor. You only get lost in thought when you get addicted to thought. But if you can let thoughts appear but not identify with them, that's huge. That's breathing right in your dreams. I mean, in your meditation. You're trying to get to a quieter place where you can hear nature, the body, speaking to you of what it needs and wants, and quiet the silliness of the brain that is the mind that is so out of whack.
What is it you think that keeps us as a society away from leaning into like systems of value that revolve around ideas like this? Like, what is it that keeps us from having a breathing day? Or, you know, or why is it, you know, that this isn't something that's taught in school? Or, you know, like, what if before dinner, you know, dinner was served, and instead of a prayer, we just sat and breathed together for 5 minutes before we then ate? You know, I mean, what is it that keeps us as a society away from that?
I think the addiction to the mind, which is amazing. The mind is, I mean, look at what the mind can produce and build. It's very sexy. It's very addictive. Stillness seems like the opposite of the mind. It seems unproductive. And the mind is all obsessed with production, getting more. It's what Alex calls, it's materialistic. It wants. And you know, so we're addicted. And look what it's doing. Because there are groups of people, and some of the dreamers I have are living on farming communities and places that are doing those kind of rituals where they're trying to be more basic and down to earth. But the society is always fully committed to the technology and the development of it. And it seems where we're headed would be that we're headed to robots. That's what we're going to evolve into. This will go, and the robots will be stronger than us, and that'll be that's what the mind wants to correct. It doesn't want to be connected to the organic growth of evolution of the planet. The way it grew, it wants to now have a world of its own. It's detached. It's like letting go. It's like letting go. The society we hang on to everything, every memory. Everything in the past. There is no past. There's now. Yeah. And now is having an experience of a memory. But the memory that you're experiencing right now is in the now. You're not in the past. You only can be in the now. And you have to choose. This came up the other day. When you choose to take the future and bring it into the present, you get disturbed. You need to send the thought from the future back to the future. If you take the rhythm of the present moment and introduce the future into it, that's totally out of rhythm and bad breathing. You can only breathe well in the present. You can't breathe well by living in the future. We're all about the future. Why do cars have to change? Why? I find a pair of glasses that work perfectly, and then I go get them in a year. They're gone because they're not in fashion. Why do cars have to change every year? Why?
Yeah, or a new iPhone every
Every iPhone, we have to have, now we have 12. Why? Because it's making it better and bigger. It's technology, and we're addicted, and it can do more. It can take better photos, and it can do this and that, and it can get into your relationships and help you be a better lover. It can do this. It can do that. It can do everything. Oh, my God, I'm addicted. I'm addicted. I'm addicted. No breath.
Yeah, no breath at all. I mean, what we're talking about is, you know, as you say, these conditions, you know, led to the development of Parkinson's, right? And we're talking about a society-wide level of anxiety that is stirring this up and giving us as a sort of common denominator a sense of productivity and strain and anxiety and worry and fear that I'm not doing as much as that person is And nowhere in there is the chance to just say, stop, breathe.
It's not wanted. It's not all that counter-culture view is an underdog. The spirit is always the underdog. We should be the miracle. You know, I asked Alex, I said, what can I say to the body to feel more connected to? And he said, say thank you. For all that it does, for just say thank you. And so I've started to put that into my quotes every day. Thank you. Thank you, body. Thank you. Thank you, body. And I'm here to show you respect for all that you do and the gratitude for everything you do for me. It's every motion, every chemical that it's doing is trying to improve you. It's not going, what's going to happen if you wear short pants today? Everyone will laugh at your legs.
Yeah.
God almighty. I'm so sick of those thoughts.
I think this entire podcast episode could be boiled down to just that. Just the takeaway of thank you. You body.
Which leads to thank you, Earth.
Right.
Because.
And I love you, Earth.
I love you, Earth. Look at what you do. Look at the way you create the brilliance of you. And I'm sorry that I've, you know, it all, and I think we should get off because now I have a new concern. We're not taping this right. And then, so I'm falling back into that thought, which I don't want to do.
You're not breathing.
Okay, breathe.
Listen, we've lost the last two episodes. If we lose this one, does it change anything?
No.
Exactly. So there's no strength. There's no worry.
That's good. Good. I like that. If we only listened, if we continue to listen to the mind, we will destroy the earth that created everything. The brilliance of the intelligence of the trees. You don't see a tree say, should I have more branches?
Because I see that branch, I see that tree over there. They seem to have,
they
more
seem
branches
to have a lot
me.
Of branches, and I wish I could have those branches.
And then that tree gets a arborist comes in and like shaves off a few branches, and then they go, oh, we're doing less branches now? Shoot. Oh. Do I have too many branches?
That's our lives. That's what we do. And that's so disconnected from anything central or significant or connected to your body and your the miracle of just being alive. It's so infuriating to come to this miracle and then watch the absolute unconscious behavior of people destroying it without any even taking time out to say, is this right?
This is, I listened to an Oprah podcast episode. She interviewed this woman, Martha Bex, who had this line about every truth makes us relax our muscles. Mm-hmm. Every lie tenses our muscles.
I like that. That's good.
So it's kind of connected with that sense of anxiety and breathing. I feel like when we lie, and in a way, anxiety is a lie to our deeper truths that we know that of a sense of gratitude, a sense of awe, that we tense. We're just causing tension. And then think about in those moments when you were nervous to just say what you really wanted, and then when you finally said what you wanted, you relaxed for the first time because you were being you were committed to the deeper truth.
Right.
And within that, there's room for breathing. When you're being honest, there's room for breathing. There's room for stillness.
You're not worried about what the fellow, the other person's doing. You're just working on your game. Work on your game. That's why the inner world people ignore, because it takes such work to do, but it's so more relaxing. You learn how to breathe. If you're external based, that's hard to be a good breather. Because we live in an external world and we live in an inner world. But of course, a society that doesn't breathe well, that is always living in the future, what's coming next, what's the next phone, what's the next everything, doesn't breathe well.
Yeah. And like we said, we've talked about it as being one of the five spiritual foods. You know, it's
breathe.
Breathing it's like your vehicle into the inner world, you know?
Well, I'm going to get on the book I'm reading. I've put it off on the board called Breathe. I've learned a lot about it already. And I think for anyone listening to this, I think the concept of adding breathing and awareness into your individual life, I know that's part of the course that we're doing. And the more knowledge we can get about breathing rhythmically and in concert with our heart and the universe, the way it works creatively. Because once you stop breathing correctly, you're out of rhythm.
Yeah.
That's it. Golf swings, martial arts, swimming, talking, moving. If you're not breathing right, that will show up in all your movements and your very being. All right. I think we covered it pretty well. It's a great one. We'll stay on it. But
cool.
I liked it. We'll read it off. So it's came from Fritz Perls. Get his book if you can. It's entertaining. He's entertaining. He's funny. Which is, you know, anxiety is enthusiasm without the breath. Give it a read or buy a book on breath or Google it, but start getting into it and ignore what the rest of the world's doing.
One, two,
all right,
three,
all good.
Four. Yeah.
Bye.
The Dreams Course is a one-on-one program done through phone calls with Stephen, using dream interpretation and reading Hermann Hesse's Damien. For more information about the Dreams Course, email Stephen at csmoke@optonline.net. SEASMOKE at OPTONLINE.net. If you liked today's episode, please subscribe to the show and come back for the next episode. We have many, many more quotes to get to. Thank you.